In this chapter, we had talked about Jesus casting out demons and the conversation he had about him not casting demons out by the power of Satan, because that would be destroying Satan's house. About the return of the unclean spirit. The person had swept their house out, remember, but they hadn't filled it with anything, and so it was worse at the end, because seven other spirits more wicked came in and dwell there. And I mentioned there's like two applications of that. One personally, of course, but also about the nation of Israel. Well, when we look at what we're studying today, we see how that fits in, that particular lesson fits in with what he is saying beginning in verse 37. Because in verse 37, all the way through the end of the chapter, he is denouncing, really, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, the teachers, for their hypocrisy, for their leading the people astray. And the Jewish leaders, of course, it was their responsibility to keep God's house in order, but they hadn't done it. And so they had actually caused the house of Israel to be in worse shape. Just like he said, seven spirits more wicked came in. Well, that's what the house of Israel had become. It had become so much worse, especially since the days of Malachi, you know, that 400-year period. Israel had become so much worse because the Jewish leaders, all the rabbis and the scribes and the lawyers, and they had not done what they were supposed to do. They were the leaders. They were supposed to be guiding the people and getting them prepared for the Messiah, and they were doing just the opposite. And so Jesus uses that lesson to tell these leaders, denounce the leaders. That's what he was doing. He was denouncing all of these Jewish leaders and teachers. So we see in verse 37, as he spoke, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. This is, when we read the word dine here, this is the Greek word for breakfast. Breaking the fast. This was, at the beginning, was the first meal of the day. But by this time in Jewish history, this had become kind of what we would call a brunch, kind of between breakfast and lunch. And this is the word that is used by the Holy Spirit. So this was a meal eaten after their morning prayers. You know, they typically prayed at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So this would be a meal that they would be taking after 9 o'clock. In other words, between, you know, 9 o'clock and noon. And they would come out of their prayers, and then they would have this particular meal. Well, Jesus just went in and sat down to eat. Well, this was unheard of for Jewish people, because the Pharisees in particular had, and we'll talk about these more, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of all of these so-called purification rituals that they had to go through. And one of them was washing their hands before dinner. Now, this wasn't for hygienic purposes. This was a ceremonial thing. This was to cleanse themselves, so to speak, because they might have touched somebody that was unclean in their minds. So as they were maybe coming from the temple after they had the prayers, they were coming back to their houses. Oop, they might have touched something unclean. And so they had to go through these ceremonial washings before they ate. Well, Jesus, of course, knew that that was just bunk. So he wasn't going to do any of it. Well, that the Pharisee was just astonished. He marveled. He was astonished that he had not first washed. That's the word for baptism. He had not first baptized before dinner. It's a past tense form of baptism. Couldn't believe that he hadn't baptized his hands before he started to eat. This was crazy. And again, the Jewish people had so many washings and cleansings and purifications, just so many of them. And the Jewish people had added to all the instructions that God had given them, especially back in Leviticus, about, you know, there were some cleansings and purifications they had to go through, but nowhere in the law of Moses were they ever told to wash their hands before they ate. That was not a part of the law of Moses. So Jesus wasn't doing anything wrong by not washing his hands. But the Pharisees had taken these regulations from the law of Moses and added to them just multitudes. And this is one of them. Oh, you've got to wash your hands before eating. And they had made it a law. Well, Jesus knew it wasn't a part of the law of Moses, so he wasn't going to do it. But that, you know, this was their traditions. The only time anybody, during the time the law of Moses was in effect, that was told to wash their hands were the priest before they made a sacrificial offering. And that was the only time. The only people. Well, the Pharisees had taken and said, no, everybody's got to do it before every time they eat. Well, that's why Jesus said, you know, they were legalists. They were making laws and regulations that God had never done. So this was just a tradition that the Pharisees had made. And we'll talk a whole lot more about that in a minute. But I want to look at something that happens later in the book of Acts with Cornelius. We'll go over to Acts chapter 10 for a moment. And this will have something to do with what Jesus says later. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, he's talking about Cornelius and who he was. It says, he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave many alms to the people and continually prayed to God. Well, if we skip down to verse 15, Peter's recounting something to him. The voice spoke to him a second time, what God has cleansed, do not call common. All right? What God has cleansed, made clean, don't call common or don't call it unclean. So once God has said something is clean, you don't have any right to call it unclean. Well, if we go to chapter 11 now, still talking about the same instance in verse 19. And remember, this is Peter had had the vision about what was clean and what wasn't what wasn't clean. Verse 19, now those who were scattered by the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one except Jews. Now, this was after the time God had already pronounced the Gentiles as being clean. In other words, the gospel could be preached to the Gentiles. That was the main thing that the conversion of Cornelius showed. God said the Gentiles were clean. And so the Jewish people or no one else had any right to call the Gentiles common or unclean. So they were supposed to take the message to everybody now, not just the Jewish people. Because everybody was clean. Nobody was unclean. And so in God's eyes, and this goes back to what Jesus is going to say, when God says something is clean, no one has any right to say it's unclean because God has spoken about it. So like with Cornelius, the gospel had been preached to the Gentiles. They were considered clean, not common, so the gospel could be taken to them. So again, the lesson is about what God calls clean is clean. So Jesus is with the Pharisees. This Pharisee just couldn't believe that Jesus didn't wash his hands because the Pharisee said within his mind, oh, Jesus' hands aren't clean. Not true, because God said they were. So the Pharisee did not have any right to say that what Jesus was doing was wrong. God had pronounced the hands clean, so the Pharisee had no right to say they weren't. And Jesus, of course, teaches this lesson as he goes on, because then the Lord says to him, "Now you Pharisees," now this is really interesting. I didn't really think about this until yesterday. Jesus is invited into this Pharisee's house. And what does Jesus do? He denounces the Pharisee. Now this would have been considered the worst, ill-mannered, rude thing to do. Jesus did it anyway. In the Pharisee's eyes, Jesus was being incredibly rude, incredibly ill-mannered, but Jesus did it anyway. And of course, the reason was he had to teach the Pharisee right and wrong. He had to teach the Pharisee that what you were doing was wrong. And if the Pharisee thought that was rude and ill-mannered, so be it. Jesus said the truth was more important. The truth had to be taught here, even if the Pharisees got mad. And of course, that's exactly what happened. The Pharisees got furious with Jesus. But that didn't bother Jesus at all, because Jesus had to tell them the truth, because the truth was the only thing that was going to save them. So, he says, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and wickedness." Wow. Now that's the way to start a conversation in someone's home. "You Pharisees." You can see him pointing his finger. It says, "You Pharisees are so concerned about the outside of the cup and dish, but that's not the part you need to clean. So what if the outside of the cup and dish is dirty? Big deal. That's not where you're eating. You're eating from the inside." It says, "Don't be concerned about what's on the outside of the cup. So what if it's dirty? Big deal. You need to be concerned about what's on the inside of the cup." And of course, he's trying to make them understand using a physical example about what's really clean and what isn't clean. But he tells them, "You fools." Now he gets even more rude and ill-mannered in their eyes, because he calls them fools. "Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give alms from what is within, and then all things are clean to you." And remember, this is all about what God considers clean as opposed to what men considered clean. The Pharisee thought that Jesus was unclean because he didn't wash his hands. Jesus is coming back and saying, "No, what's unclean is what's inside of you. You're unclean because of what's in your heart, your spirit, your soul." He says, that's what's unclean. That's why I call them fools. See, you're foolish. You're not wise. You're not understanding what's really clean and what's really unclean. He's basically saying you've got it completely backwards. You've taken what God has called clean and you've made it unclean. And you've taken what God has called unclean and made it clean. And that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. People still do the exact same thing today in the religious world. They completely, like the prophet said, you're calling evil good and good evil. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And so Jesus was blunt. He says, "You've got it totally wrong." And of course, everybody likes to hear that, don't they? "You've got it completely wrong. You've messed up entirely. Your whole religious thinking is wrong, turned upside down, backwards." That's what he's telling the Pharisees. "You've got it totally wrong." And like I said, doesn't everybody love to hear that about themselves? "Your religion is totally wrong." That's what Jesus is telling them. It's totally wrong. You've got it as backwards as can be. So, he says, what you need to do, if you want to really get clean in God's eyes, don't wash your hands before eating. He says that has no spiritual significance at all. There's nothing important about that. But if you really want to clean and be clean in God's eyes? What you need to do is give alms from what's within. See, that's what's going to make you clean. Not washing your hands, that has no spiritual significance whatsoever, he says. What you need to do is be concerned about your attitude toward the poor. You need to be concerned about other people and serving other people and being generous to other people. That's what you need to be concerned about. Now, right before his trial and his crucifixion, he gives almost the identical lesson in Matthew 23, but that's almost a year later. And that's, again, right before his death. But here he's telling similar people the same thing because they have the same problem. They have the same problem. So he says, clean up the inner man, because that's what God is looking at. God is not looking at the outer man. He's looking at the inner man. He's looking at the spirit. He's looking at the soul. And that's what, when you go back to some of Jesus' first teaching, Sermon on the Mount, you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, especially Matthew chapter 6, and you see Jesus trying to tell, and of course he's talking to Jewish people then, that what's on the inside has to be right before what's on the outside matters. He says you can go to every worship service you want, you can make every offering you want, and he says it doesn't make any difference whatsoever unless your heart is right and you're doing it for the right reason. And he says otherwise it's totally unimportant. That's one of the main teachings he gives in Matthew 6. You've got to have what's inside right, and that's what he's telling the Pharisees. Clean it up. Clean up your inner man, your inner person. Clean up your spirit. Clean up your soul. And if you would clean it up, you'd be giving alms to people. He says that's what's going to make you clean. Washing your hands before you eat, it's not going to make the slightest bit of difference. But if your heart is right, if your spirit is right, you're going to be giving alms to the poor. And that's going to be the indication that you are clean, because that's what's important. Teaches that in Matthew 15 as well, but you can go back and read a good part of Matthew 15, and he teaches the same thing about that, starting in verse 10. So, the inner man has to come first. If the inner man is clean, then good will come, you know, produce good fruit. But just because you are cleaning your hands before you eat is no indication whatsoever that your heart is right. See, and that was their problem. That was their real issue, was their tendency to think that by doing these outward things, that was all that mattered. Didn't make any difference what was inside. They could have the worst spirit and attitude, and that wouldn't make any difference to God. And Jesus is trying to teach them, again, you're totally wrong. Your whole thinking is wrong. And of course, most of the Pharisees completely ignored Jesus because they didn't want to hear that they had to clean up the inside first. They didn't want to hear that. So they got mad. They got mad. Well, he goes on and pronounces a woe. A woe is a condemnation. Woe to you, Pharisees. Pharisees, you're condemned because you tithe mint and rue and every herb and pass over justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so now he says you also have another tendency, and that is to only be concerned about what's easy. It's easy to tithe mint and rue and every herb. That's so easy to do. You grow 10 dill plants and you give one to God. That is so easy to do. That's what he's saying here. He says, Pharisees, all you're concentrating on is doing what's easy to accomplish. What's easy for you to do? What doesn't take much sacrifice? What doesn't take much time? What doesn't take a change of heart? That's what you're concentrating on, and you're neglecting what's more difficult. And look at the difference. And he uses tithing here, I think, for a specific reason. Because they were supposed to give 10% of their plants. But to practice justice and the love of God, could they do 10% of that? No, they had to do 100%. So the Pharisees saw, I would rather do 10% of this than 100% of that. 10%, easy, 100%, very difficult. So the Pharisees said, I'm going to do the 10%. I'm not going to miss 10% of my herbs. But there's no way I'm going to give 100% to love and justice. No way. See, and that's what Jesus is telling them. You're taking the easy way out. You're taking the easy way out. You can't love God 10% of the time. You can't practice justice 10% of the time. You have to do it 100% of the time. It has to be who you are. It has to be a part of you. Whereas tithing herbs does it. So they were taking, again, the easy way out. They weren't concerned about helping others by giving alms. They weren't concerned about justice. They weren't concerned about love. Those things are hard, and they still are. And they're not going to fool with them. Jesus is still telling them, you've got your religion all wrong. Totally wrong. You've just turned it completely around, and it's nothing like God wanted it to be. Well, there's another woe coming up. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the prominent seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Now, there's another woe. There's another condemnation. Ego. They like to have their egos stroked. They were very proud, very arrogant. They loved the chief seats. They loved the chief seats. They loved the prominence. They loved to be in front. They loved for people to think that they were it. They loved for people to think that they were it. And that hasn't changed with people either. Religiously, people still love titles. Pastor, reverend, pope, cardinal. Those are all just things that stroke people's ego. I know you've heard me tell this story, but it's been a while. When we lived in Springfield, or even when we lived in Aurora, and we go to Springfield, there was a particular denominational church, and they, you know, they had their preacher's name out front. It started out as like the Reverend Smith, and then years go by, and then it was the Honorable Reverend Smith, and then a few years later it was the Right Honorable Reverend Smith, and then it ended up being the Very Right Honorable Reverend Smith. And that's exactly what Jesus is condemning here. I mean, exactly it. I'm surprised someone didn't go up and write on the wall Luke 11, because that's what he's condemning. Says, Pharisees, that's what you like. You like to be called the Very Right Honorable Reverend Pharisee. That's what you like. You live for it. And you want everybody to know it. So, again, ego. And people haven't, you know, that hasn't changed at all. Then we have time for one more woe, and then we'll have to stop. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! The language just gets stronger. If you're like unseen graves and the men walk over them are not aware of them. When Jesus teaches this later in Matthew 23, he adds quite a bit to that about the whitewashed tombs and so forth. But it's the same thing. He says you're like graves that people can't see. They don't realize they're walking on a grave, which is unclean. They don't realize it, and as a result, they become unclean because they don't realize it. Of course, he's not talking about physical graves. He's talking about what the Pharisees were doing by their practices and by what they were teaching. They were causing other people to be unclean because other people were following what the Pharisees were doing. So not only were the Pharisees condemning themselves, causing themselves to be condemned, but they were causing other people to be condemned because other people were following and doing what they were doing. So it says, you're like an unseen grave, and these people aren't realizing what they're becoming. They're following you and your practices and teachings, and they're becoming unclean because of it. The Pharisees were so scrupulous about like washing their hands before eating, you know, about defilement and being unclean, but yet at the same time, they were the worst source of uncleanness and defilement that there was. So Jesus, for about the fourth or fifth time, says, you've got your religion all completely wrong. Completely wrong. And of course, most of the Pharisees, the vast majority of the Pharisees, never followed Christ. The reason, they weren't going to give that up. They weren't going to give up the chief places. They weren't going to give up the greetings. They weren't going to give up being the teachers and the scribes. They weren't going to give up any of that. They weren't going to give up their traditions. They were not going to change. And so the only thing they could do, since they weren't going to change, was kill the one telling them they had to change. I mean, that was their only option. It was either repent or kill. And they weren't going to repent, so they decided they had to kill Jesus. And we'll see next week as we go down here, that's exactly what they start to do. They're trying to catch him. They're trying to get rid of him. They just don't want to hear the truth. And that hasn't changed. People today don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that one can lose their salvation. No, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they've got the religion all wrong. They don't want to hear that their parents had the religion all wrong. They don't want to hear that their grandparents had the religion all wrong. But Jesus knew he had to tell them that because that was the truth. That was the only thing that could save them was the truth, so he had to tell them that. The vast majority of people didn't listen, and they still don't listen. The vast majority of the people today don't want to hear that truth, so they're not going to accept it. They don't want to hear it because of the consequences. They don't want to hear it because of the consequences. So 2,000 years has not changed people religiously at all. People have that same spirit and attitude just like they did in the first century. And I really don't think that's ever going to change. I really don't. Don't think it's ever going to change. Don't think it's ever going to get better. I mean, if Jesus himself couldn't get people to change, then there's certainly no way in the world I'm going to. A few people, yes, just like there were a few people, a few Pharisees, you know, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. So a few Pharisees out of the tens of thousands that Jesus taught, a few Pharisees respond. And I think that's true today. There's going to be a few that will believe the truth. But the vast majority are not going to. Because they don't like the consequences. They just don't like them. So they're just going to refuse to believe. That they do not want to change. That's what it was all about. Pharisees did not want to change. It was too hard. Like you said, the consequences were too great. They just weren't going to do it. And that, again, hasn't changed at all. Tremendous lesson that Jesus taught in these few verses. Because it really reveals people's spirit and attitude. It reveals what people, many people, most people are like. Well, Lord willing then, we'll start with verse 45 next Sunday morning.